The sound of the Ilion pipes on the Saturday Cafe. Elliot Grasso, joined in the studio today by Glenn Waddell and Tim McIntosh. Welcome to the Saturday Cafe.
Thanks very much, Frank. Thanks for having us.
This isn't the Celtic show on KLCC, so my listeners probably know Scottish bagpipes much better than the Ilion pipes. Could you run them through the differences?
Sure. It always helps to have a schematic when you're dealing with something that looks like a cross between a vacuum, an oboe, and a whoopee cushion. But more or less, what you would see if you were sitting in here was a bellows belted onto my waist, connected to the bag under my left arm with a blowpipe. And out of the bag is coming a two-octave chanter. And out of the bag also is coming a long cylinder, which has these drones. And also some regulators.
So in addition to the kind of drone harmonies that you're playing, you can also play a second melody line or a moving harmony line.
I can play some counter melody and harmony, absolutely,
wow.
Yeah.
It kind of strikes me as being a deconstructed accordion in a way.
Well, I would say it's a step up probably from a deconstructed accordion, but
well, I mean, it's got bellows as an air source. It's got different keyed notes. It's got, but accordions don't have drones. Thankfully, that would be too much. Oh, I love the instrument though. It really does have sort of a steampunky feel to it with the brass and the wood and the bellows.
I'll take what I can get. I tell you what, it kept me away from football and girls growing up. So. Amen to that.
How did you get started playing? I mean, this is not a common instrument in my part of the world, at least. Where did you learn Ilion pipes?
Well, I'm from Baltimore originally, so I grew up in a community of Irish-American musicians, and my whole family plays, so music was a pretty normal part of growing up. So this would have instruments laying all over the place, and my parents got into Irish music in the 60s and 70s with the folk revival, and so they had tons of LPs of the Chieftains and like... groups sitting in the closet. So as a little kid, I would put them on and try to play along in the tin whistle. And I think the Ilion pipes were probably the only instrument we didn't have in the house. So I begged and pleaded for lessons and finally started around age 11.
You did the competition circuit, have won a number of piping awards of various sorts?
I did here and there a few regional titles and one international title.
Mm-hmm. Play us a tune live, would you please?
Happy to.
Thank you. My guest today on the Saturday Cafe, Elliot Grasso on Ilian Pipes, accompanied by Glenn Waddell on guitar. What was the name of that?
Those were three jigs. The first one was called The Priest in His Boots. The second was called Haggit the Churn. And the third one was a great tune by Jerry Holland called Lakeview Drive.
Traditional Irish tunes have the best titles ever.
Indeed. The least relevant as well.
Indeed. In addition to being a piper of some renown, you're also a musicologist. I assume one led to the other?
Something like that, more or less.
I mean, what do you teach as a musicologist? What do you study? What's your area of research?
I study mostly melodic variation in Irish traditional music, mm-hmm. and how cognitive function facilitate those kinds of things. So basically the question is, how is it that we human beings are capable of variation at all, and how does that occur in what sorts of realms does that occur musically?
Mm. I got lost at cognitive function. You're performing actually two shows this next week with a Scottish fiddler, Brandon Vance.
Right. Brandon is, we're bringing Brandon down from Seattle. Brandon is an unbelievably good Scottish fiddler who's won the national title twice. And he's coming down to play with Glenn and myself at Bell Hall on February 18th and to be part of Gutenberg College's education conference February 20th to the 22nd.
A friend of mine who's a Scottish fiddler often talks about how pipers and fiddlers tend to steal each other's tunes. Is that the case with Irish music as well?
Well, in Scottish music, it's really just the fiddlers who steal the piper's tunes. but there's a little more reciprocity in Irish music than in Scottish music, I would say.
Is that because Irish pipe tunes are more interesting, or
definitely, or definitely
you,
more interesting?
You just aren't burly enough to fight off the fiddlers.
Well, I have a weapon right here. These pipes will fend anyone off.
We are actually joined by one of your colleagues from Gutenberg College, Tim McIntosh. Tell us a little bit about the conference that's happening.
Sure. The title of it is Mastery, Not Factory, and so we're kind of playing on Gutenberg's approach to education, which is the way that somebody would learn an instrument, say the way that Elliot learned an instrument. We think that people probably prefer education of that sort. So I presume, Elliot, you had a master teacher who sat down with you and put the pipe in your hand and said, here's how you start to play. Here's the simple notes. Here are the more complex notes. And quickly evaluated Elliot's weaknesses and strengths and coached him, advised him on how to bolster his weaknesses and improve his strengths. So that's kind of the way that Gutenberg thinks of education. So rather than a bandmaster at the front of the concert hall conducting a large group of students, we have a relatively small student body and lots of one-on-one interaction between the student and the professor. And Elliot and I just know our students really well. So when they have weaknesses, we try to find ways to encourage them to bolster those, and when they have strength, try to find ways to bolster those.
Who is the audience for this conference? Who's coming?
It's intended to be for anybody who's interested in education broadly. So we're thinking teachers and principals chiefly. Gutenberg is a classical school, meaning it's a classical great book school, to be more specific. So we start reading with the oldest book that human beings have a copy of, the Epic of Gilgamesh is what people mm-hmm. think it is. And we read all the way to current day things, and we try to read them in order from oldest to newest. And that kind of approach to education used to be a lot more popular than it is. We're sad that it's become less popular. So we're kind of carrying the flame. It's a great, great way to get educated. And it's funny how many parents come to me. I'll be, talking to a prospective student, and a parent will come to me and say, oh, this is the kind of education that I wish
I had.
Yeah.
As the product of a liberal arts education, I
Good
appreciate
for you.
It.
May yes. your tribe increase.
And yours. The concert as part of the conference is open to the public?
Yes, it is open to the public.
Well, thank you all for joining me. It's really wonderful having you here. I think we should go out with something rousing and boisterous.
So I'll play two hornpipes. The first one is called Paul Haypenny, and the Haypenny Bridge is a bridge that goes across the river in the middle of Dublin. And the second one is a tune called An Spalladour, which is Irish for the gardener. So I don't know what either of these has to do with steel bridge architecture or horticulture, but I'll let your imaginations run wild.
Elliot Grasso, Glenn Waddell. They're performing with Scottish fiddler Brandon Vance Tuesday at Bell Hall, the University of Oregon School of Music, next Thursday as part of the Gutenberg College Conference on Education at New Hope Christian Church on 18th and Charnelton in Eugene. You can get more information at Elliot Grasso, Elliot 1L, 1T, Grasso.com, or at gutenberg.edu for information about the conference. Elliot is also teaching Ilian Pipes at the 11th Annual Eugene Irish Culture Festival, March 7th and 8th. Thank you.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Thanks for having us, Frank.